This is Doug Miller. When Paul says that he is praying that he will attain unto the resurrection of the dead, what is he talking about? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and it is our privilege to be back with you one more time with the Word of God in hand, to be able to speak into this microphone, to know that God will always honor His Word, that it will never return to Him void, that it will always have the effect that He intends. This Word will either save you or it will condemn you. But if you are listening, understand that you are accountable for what you hear and for what you do with it. I am the one accountable for putting it out there in a clear way and in a correct way. And so there you are. You have your accountability and I have mine. Bring your Bibles. Come along. We are in the third chapter of Philippians, and I think you will find it very profitable. Now, Dialogue is a ministry that is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated. We are a nonprofit organization, not attached to any organization, not attached to any denomination or any group, and we exist solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there to as many as we can get it out to. And, of course, we are utterly and absolutely dependent upon our listeners and other interested parties to keep this ministry up and running. We need your prayers. We need you to pray for Dialogue. If you pray anything for Dialogue, pray that the Lord will guard the door of my lips, that I will let nothing go out that is not correct and profitable. Pray that this ministry will be extended farther out to more and more people. Pray that lives will be changed. And, of course, we'd always love to hear from you. Always a delight and a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to know that you're out there, that we're reaching you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Also, you might like to go online and look up our webpage. It is www.dialogueministries, all one word, all little letters, .org, O-R-G. If you put .com, you'll get something else. Okay? www.dialogueministries, one word, .org. All right. Here we are in the third chapter of Philippians. We have, and we're going to pick it up at the 12th verse of the third chapter. Last time we got up through verses 10 and 11, but I want to go back and read some of what we saw last time so that just to get our context. Paul has a little prayer here. At least I see it as a prayer, and I have certainly made it my prayer. Frankly, between you, me, and anyone else who's listening, the verses 10 down through 14 in particular have been an ongoing prayer of mine for many, many years. Now, I don't know how you pray, but I think I can give you some good advice about prayer. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, be about verse 7, I believe. He said this, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Listen to that again now. And John 15, 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, notice the critical thing here. Our abiding in him and his words abiding in us. I want to ask you something. What's so important about that? Well, the importance of it is seen in another passage that John wrote in his first letter. And this is back in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is what he says. Take note, pay particular attention. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, your prayer life, I'm going to give you some very valuable advice here, and I hope you'll lay hold on it and take hold on it. There are a lot of people out there who have turned prayer into some sort of wishful thinking thing, into some sort of deal. I just kind of make a list of whatever I want, like I did to Santa Claus when I was a kid, and I get down here, and if I just believe in it, I can have it. Let me show you very quickly why that is wrong. There are a lot of guys teaching this, by the way, a lot of false teachers out there. You need to avoid them like the plague. Let me show you what's wrong with that. What if I get down on my knees and pray, oh God, please exterminate all the Jews? What if I did that? Do you think God's going to answer that prayer? I don't care how much I try to believe it. I can't pray a prayer like that and expect it to be answered. God has stated his will for the Jews. God has already made it clear that he is going to bless the Jews, that he is going to bless Israel and protect them and keep them and bring them into the millennial kingdom. And to pray some silly and foolish and vicious prayer that he would exterminate them, you cannot pray something like that and believe God's going to do it. Don't throw something like that at me. You say, well, I mean, God has expressed it. That is right. He's expressed his will. And you would be praying contrary to his will. It's what you would be doing. Now, how can you have confidence that the things you ask for, you're going to get them? John has told us how. We need to be praying in his will. And how do we know that we're praying in his will? Jesus has told us how. His words are abiding in us. You saturate yourself with the word of God. You read the Bible, and as you read the Bible, you lay hold on great and precious promises, and you pray those back to God, and you can have them. You want me to give you an example of that? Look at the 37th Psalm, where it says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, you say, oh boy, the desires of my heart, huh? Well, I want a gold Cadillac. There's the desire of my heart. No, please, read the whole verse. You delight yourself in the Lord. If you are delighting yourself in the Lord, what is the desire of your heart? It's him. And look at that, you're going to see Paul's prayer here in a minute and see how closely this parallels with this. You can have the Lord. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, said the Lord Jesus in Matthew 5:16, for they shall be filled. The Lord has asked you to seek, to ask, to knock on doors, and he has promised that you will find, that you will receive, and that doors will be opened unto you. But friends, please look at the way you should be seeking and asking and knocking. Now, Paul's got a prayer here, and his prayer begins, that I may know him. We saw this last time. That I may know him. Well, Paul was an old man when he wrote this. Once again, this is somewhat repetitive. He was an old man when he wrote this, and yet he's praying it still. Did he not know him? Was he not saved? Did he have any doubt that he would be in heaven? Was he clinging on to these things and, boy, I got to struggle and I got to hold on to this or I'll go to hell? Is that what he was doing? Oh, he knew the Lord. He knew the Lord well. He had come to know him back on the road to Damascus. And he who has begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, he is yet praying that I may know him. Whatever Paul knew, it wasn't enough. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. That I may know him, and he says, and the power of his resurrection. Please note that. Please note that. And he says the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And then in this 11th verse, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, I asked a question at the first of this broadcast. What was Paul talking about? That brief pause there was so I could sip a cup of coffee. I kind of keep it in here to keep my throat dry and wet and oiled up and working here. That if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection, literally out from among the dead ones, the out resurrection of the dead ones. Now, what's Paul talking about here? All of you out there who believe in falling from grace, all of you who believe that your salvation depends basically on your own works. God saved you by grace, but it's up to you to work to keep it. All of you who believe that are going to see, well, there you are. Paul didn't know that he was going to be raised from the dead. He's praying that if by any means he might not. Oh, friends, please, that's not what Paul's talking about here. Look at the 12th verse and put the whole thing in context, and maybe you can see what he's talking about. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now, wait a minute. Of course he hadn't attained. If you are making him in verse 11 say, well, Paul's just praying and hoping that somehow he'll be counted worthy to be raised up out of the dead, out of the graves when Jesus comes back, but he doesn't know. If you're making that say that, then what in the world sense can you make out of verse 12? Not as though I had already attained. Well, you might say, well, of course not. You're still living here. You're still on this earth. Friends, please, you are missing the point if that's what you're thinking, and you are missing something, one of the most important things about what it is to be a Christian. Paul is talking about the here and now, the resurrection, the outcalling of the dead into life and the power here and now. Is he saying that he's not saved? Nonsense. Of course he is saved. What he wants to know is the power right now on this earth of walking with the Lord Jesus in resurrection life. That's what he's praying for. If you don't believe it, look again at Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses and one that I've quoted many times on here, where he says, I am, present tense, crucified with Christ. Now, what he really said in the Greek, if you get into the Greek grammar, into tenses that we don't even have in our language, but that you got to look at in the Greek to get the full meaning of, what he's saying is, I have been and am being crucified unto death with Christ. Now, did he look down and see the stigmata bleeding in his hands as some of the mystics and confused people of the in history of it would have us believe? No. Paul reckons, and you had better reckon if you're a Christian, that you went to the cross with Christ, that you were positionally seen by God in him, that you positionally went down into death with him, and you have now come up to walk with power in resurrection life. You had better reckon on that, because that's what Paul is talking about here. Paul wants to live in the fullness of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you out there who are struggling along from defeat to defeat, day after day. You cannot seem to live a victorious Christian life. You've been to every seminar in the world. You've been in and out of bookstores looking for books of the how-to variety. You've attached yourself to this spiritual guru and that one. You have failed and been defeated over and over again, and many times you've even doubted that you were saved, but in fact you know that you are, but you just can't seem to get the hang of it. Here is the hang of it, gang. Here it is. This is the important thing that you need to get hold of. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. This is the here and now. This is the present. As Christ was raised up from the dead to walk in newness of life, I have been raised up with him. Now, if you say, well, I don't feel raised up, I don't care. I don't care. The reason Paul is saying I'm not perfect, I really haven't attained, is just for the same reason that you and I might say it. I may not be in the good of this. Positionally, God sees me in the good of this. He sees me raised up with Christ. And the secret to victory in my Christian walk is to recognize and understand that I am in him, that I have everything he has, that he is in the glory in heaven at his Father's right hand, and in him I stand in the position and in the place that only he could claim. I am in Christ. And look at this. Paul here humbly admits that he is not really in the good of all this yet. Now, he's not talking, once again, about something that he might attain to someday if he's a good boy. No, he is talking about something that he ought to have and lay hold on and be living day by day right here and now. And he is humble enough to recognize that he still has problems. Isn't that amazing? Well, if Paul has problems, where does that put me? But, Paul is pressing on. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended, or have been apprehended, or literally was laid hold of. Katalambano. To lay hold, to overtake, to apprehend something is the Greek. Now look at this. Oh, brethren and sisterin. Little amusing thing there for you. Look, this is so important. Christ Jesus laid hold on you for a reason. He laid hold on Paul for a reason. If you're thinking, well, the reason was so I could go down to Africa and translate the Bible into Swahili, well, it's already been done. Bill Deans did that a long time ago, so don't worry about that part of it. I don't know what God laid hold on you for as an individual to do for you individually. I do know this, that he has plans for your life that are different from the plans he has for me. If you're saying, well, if I can't get on the radio and talk, well, old Miller does it, and if I can't do it, I'm not interested. Well, come on. God probably has something else for you to do. But I want to tell you this. There are many things that God has in mind for you that are exactly what he has in mind for me. He apprehended us for a reason. Same reason he apprehended Paul. And what Paul is praying here is that I just want to lay hold on that very thing, that very purpose for which the Lord Jesus Christ laid hold on me. He took me up for a reason. What was it? Here it comes. You get it out of the 8th chapter of Romans. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be or to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And that is Romans 8, 29 and 30. He laid hold on you to conform you to the image of his Son. He laid hold on you to raise you up to walk with him in power in resurrection life, and I am talking about right now. You don't wait until you're dead to get this one. If you're waiting until you're dead to get raised up and walk in the fullness of the power of Christ in his resurrection life, you're going to live a miserable, defeated life right now, even though, yes, if you're saved, you will be there when the Lord Jesus comes back to call us back up out of the dead and from among the dead ones. But look back at verse 12. When the Lord Jesus comes back and the dead in Christ rise, then we will indeed be perfect. We will have attained. There'll be nothing. There's no great secret in that. That's why I know that Paul, when he wrote this, was talking about the here and now. Now let's go on in the time we have left and look down to verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet. I'm still pressing forward. Paul, you're tearing me up. If Paul hadn't apprehended, if he was still pressing on, where does that leave someone like me? Well, I can quit worrying about that part. It just means that I am just in that sense like Paul was. And like Paul made this prayer, I can make it. I can make it mine. And I can go forward, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect or fully grown, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. What a precious, powerful passage of Scripture all this is. Now, I would suggest, frankly, to all of you out there who are listening to me, that you go back and pick up verse 10 and verses 10 down through 15 and make those a part of your daily prayer for yourself. Look at this. There's a man in glory at God's right hand. He is Christ Jesus, my Lord. He is not the humble Jesus of Nazareth who walked the dusty roads of Nazareth, the carpenter dressed in homespun clothing. He is not the man who was spat upon, who was smitten by ignorant sinners who said, you know, prophesy, tell us who hit you. All that's behind him. He is a glorified man in heaven at God's right hand. By the Spirit of the living God, you need to get a vision of him. You need to see him there and put everything behind you and run and press toward that mark. This is glory. And this is what victory in the Christian life is all about. And friends, it can be yours. Now, the enemy, Satan's business is to keep you ignorant of this. And if he can keep you ignorant of it, then he's done the job. But God's business by the Holy Spirit is to enlighten you. Now, there you are. What do you plan to do about it? I pray that you will pray this prayer and live it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.